Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. You can always listen to us by telling your smart speaker to play KNSS radio, and make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook page and True Social page, and follow me on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. And of course, give us a call. Our studio lines are open. 316-869-1330. We'd love to hear from you. Don't forget, next Sunday, we'll be broadcasting live from Topeka. Thanks to our friends at Eck Insurance. Coming up this Friday, I will be joined by newly elected Kansas Republican Party Vice Chair Andy Hoosier. We'll be hosting a roundtable discussion at the weekly Pachyderm Club luncheon. Andy and I always have fun when we host those sessions. We'll hope you'll join us. And don't forget, tickets are selling fast to the 2025 Kansans for Life banquet at Park City Arena with Rachel Campos Duffy from Fox News. If you haven't gotten your tickets yet, you can get those at KFL.org. Earlier today, I had the opportunity to have a conversation with Dr. Roger Marshall. He was getting ready to fly back to Washington, D.C., but we sat down, had a pretty good conversation. We will go ahead and play that for you now.
Marshall, thank you again for joining us. It's a pleasure to have you on the show, as always.
Yeah, John, great to be with you. A beautiful sunny day in Kansas. I got to go fishing with my dad. Wichita State had a baseball game today, so spring is almost here.
Well, and it was a pleasure to see you in Goodland yesterday. Big crowd out in, it's just mountain time, but it was a great crowd out in Goodland. Nice to see you.
Yeah, it was. We did a big Northwest Kansas swing. My staff said we passed through five different time zones in 2 days, trying to hit six or seven counties up there. But it was good to see everybody. Had a decent amount of moisture this last year and this winter, so the wheat crop looks like it's doing pretty good.
Doc, one of the things that came up yesterday quite a bit at the state convention was the president and DOGE. There are some in the media that are upset with the president and what Elon Musk is doing, but the president still enjoys widespread approval, and frankly, he's doing exactly what the 77 million Americans who voted for him want him to do, right?
Yeah, I think that is it. And it is interesting to me. I think President Trump's approval rating is around 53%. But if you dial down on the different issues that he's attacking, it's more like 70% approval. So whether it's securing the border, setting American energy free, a quick end to the war in Ukraine, or saving money by DOGE, about 65-75% of people support each one of those. And it's been, I tell you what, it's just been shock and awe up in D.C. We're not going to be talking about 100 days of President Trump. We were talking about the first 100 hours. We're in there about, 5 weeks? We're setting record rates of getting his nominees approved. So as he sets these executive orders, we need those secretaries, the heads of the agencies in there to implement his executive orders. And I think Americans are feeling the success already, and I'm excited to be part of it.
Well, and, Senator, Americans elected the president knowing full well and expecting him to do exactly what he was going to do, in particular looking for waste, fraud, and abuse at the federal level, even in areas like, for example, the Department of Veterans Affairs. And I know you and Senator Moran are keenly focused on veterans. Your son is currently serving in the military, as I think, and even DOGE, if it were to find areas to cut at the VA, for example, wouldn't that money then turn around and be spent on health care and benefits for veterans? It's not like they're going to turn around and go on a cruise or something. That money would just be spent more efficiently, right?
Well, certainly taking care of veterans is a huge priority for President Trump. You mentioned Senator Moran, my senior senator, who's in charge of the VA committee as well. But you're absolutely right. And first of all, this is so important to me. I served, my son is serving, my dad served, my brother served, and multiple generations. So this is a very important issue to me. And I think it's interesting to take a look at the last 8 or 10 or 12 years that prior to President Trump, the VA satisfaction rate had dipped down in the 50s. Under President Trump 1.0, that satisfaction rate went up in the high 80s. And within a year or two, it drops back down in the low 50s under Joe Biden again. We have waiting lists now of over 29 days for our veterans to get in to see a doctor, and that's unacceptable. I think one of the big challenges we have is in Washington, D.C. Only 6% of the federal employees are actually in the office working, and that's true for the Veterans Affairs as well. So when we try to onboard a million people from this, what's called the PACT Act, which is new legislation. Senator Moran, again, I'll give him all the credit. The PACT Act, $200 or $300 billion of funding for our soldiers that were exposed to the burned pits in the Middle East, onboarding them into the VA system. And that they just done a, they've not done a very good job onboarding those people. The VA system's overwhelmed right now. So we need everybody rowing the boat in the right direction right now. If you're working from home, if you don't want to work, then get out. And let's hire the right people to make sure our veterans get the care that they were promised and the care that they deserve.
Yeah, another area that the president, again, promises made, promises delivered, is the number of illegals crossing the southern border. Just in President Trump's first month in office, that number has plunged to a level not seen in at least 25 years last month. I mean, what a difference an administration makes.
Yeah, you know, it's all about the will. It's the want to. People used to ask me, why can't Joe Biden figure out how to stop all these illegal aliens coming across the border? Many times there was 10,000 in a day crossing the border illegally. And I said, because he doesn't want to. He wanted those people to come across the border. And just the will of the president and reinstituting his policies and mostly telling people that if you come here illegally, we're going to put you on a boat back the other direction. This has scared them all off, and I don't have the numbers right in front of me, but it's got to be down to down 75% or so, I would guess. It's very manageable. What's really manageable is the number of gotaways going that we're actually keeping from getting away, if you will. You know, under Joe Biden, 2 million people gotaways. We saw them crossing the border, never did any type of assessment of them, never got them ID'd or whatever. So that number slowing down. And I know they're working night and day deporting the criminal aliens as well. And I'm telling you what, I think it's more like 75-80% of Americans support this policy.
Yeah, I think you're right. We're talking with United States Senator Roger Marshall. And Doc, I know you've got to run to get a plane here in a few, so I appreciate you taking the time to talk with us. I mentioned it was nice to see you yesterday in Goodland. You were very busy yesterday. I know in addition to the stop in Goodland, some of my audience probably has seen the coverage of your town hall yesterday. The meeting was held at the Logan County Hospital in Oakley. Videos show that the event was, shall we say, contentious. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Yeah, John, you know, to me, this is just another day in my life. I think the media is making a much bigger deal about it than I thought about it. I didn't think twice about it. I've probably done 20 or 30 town halls during Trump 1.0 just as contentious. I think the sad thing about this situation is that here I was in rural America, Oakley, Kansas, a population in the whole county there is not 3,000 people, and everyone there is connected to agriculture. So the issues that they want to talk about are rural America and agriculture, and the farmers there, the ranchers, some really hard times economically, record drop in net farm income under Joe Biden as well. That's what they wanted to talk about, but unfortunately they were shouted down just by some embarrassing group of people. So it was sad to see that, but I'll try to come back another day and sit down with my farmers and ranchers and have a cup of coffee with them.
I'm actually glad you mentioned that because, you know, I watched the video of it, and as you know, I served in the legislature, and it's sad because, like, for example, I didn't hear anybody get to talk about rural water, and that's a major issue for the folks out in that part of the state, and instead they're asking questions about, you know, Trump and Doge, and that may be important, but if you can't feed your cattle and you can't water your land, That really is what probably matters to those folks. So I frankly would have left a lot earlier than you did. So, Doc, let me ask you about another meeting that occurred over the weekend, and that was in the Oval Office, a meeting between President Trump and Vice President Vance and President Zelensky. And I mean, I'm not on the national stage, but it seems to me if you come to see the head of state with your hat in hand, you wear a suit, you say thank you, and maybe you show some humility. But that's just me.
Yeah, and you know, I want to kind of frame this discussion because people kind of jump off in some silos. But again, I think what I'm seeing, 70-80% of Americans want this war to end quickly, sooner than later. They want to get towards a peace agreement. My heart goes out to the people of Ukraine. They've been fighting with Russia now probably 1,500 years. It's a never-ending war in so many ways, and they fought so bravely. I want to point out that we have at least 1 million casualties between the two of them. Maybe 1 million people have died, and none of us want that either as well. And finally, I want to just make it real clear that Vladimir Putin is a war criminal. He's a murderer. He's a thug. He should be taken to the court in Hague and have a trial. But all that being said, I think if we just continue to throw money at this, if we keep giving Ukraine more and more money and more and more weapons, this war is just prolonged, and it truly never ends. And that's to Putin's advantage. He can outlast anybody when he's on his home court there. So I think that I would just encourage Mr. Zelensky to go home and think about this and maybe come back to President Trump and say maybe that mineral idea is a good idea. I think it's a brilliant idea by President Trump to create this economic corridor there, kind of like ending the way President Eisenhower was able to end the Korean conflict as well by kind of setting up this detente there area. And once we have American investments in there, then we're going to have more of an obligation to protect it. So now I'm starting to worry, does Zelensky have some type of a previous arrangement made with those mineral rights, or why is he so hesitant to do this?
Yeah, and it does make sense. If we had a fiscal, you know, financial investment there, then we would, by default, want to defend our interests without necessarily having to just commit ourselves to troops indefinitely, which is, I don't think any American wants to do that. Doc, I know I've got to let you run at some point. You know, the House passed the big, beautiful bill, the budget reconciliation process. How do you think that's going to fare now that it's heading over to the Senate?
Yeah, well, I want to applaud them. When you have a 2 or 3 seat majority, it is next to impossible to get something done over there. So compliments to my good friend, Speaker Mike Johnson, and another good friend, the chairman of the Budget Committee, Jody Arrington. We all came into Congress together and kind of grown up together there over these last 8 years. So congratulations to them. We also passed a budget reconciliation bill. They're a little bit different. I think they'll go to conference. And we'll try to iron out and get the best of all worlds here. We need to secure the border. We need to set American energy free. Those types of things need to happen. I think that we can go after more cuts in government spending than either one of them have right now. And we may have to come back and take a second bite of the apple and do another reconciliation bill. But I'm hopeful we'll get this one across the finish line, maybe some more money for our military like we have in ours as well. So we'll keep trudging forward here and see if we can help fulfill some of President Trump's goals. Again, funding an Air Force to help him secure the border. We're going to run out of money very soon if we don't get President Trump some more money to secure the border as well as for our military. So hopefully we'll find a way to get this across the finish line.
We were both out in western Kansas yesterday. Those folks are anxious about the farm bill. Where do we stand on that?
Yeah, I think with Republican control of the Senate now, we will put farm back in the farm bill. My friends across the aisle refuse to adequately fund crop insurance. Crop insurance is the backbone of every farm bill. Remind your listeners that only 5% of a farm bill goes to the farmers. About 80-85% of our food programs, we've tripled funding for our nutrition program since the last farm bill. We went from $60 to $180 billion for nutrition programs, and I'm very happy we live in such a wealthy country that we can give so much free food, and I want to make sure everyone has food. No one goes to bed hungry, but when it comes to a farm bill, we need to protect crop insurance. We need to make sure the conservation programs are flexible enough that farmers in western Kansas can use it as well and protect our reference prices, and that's kind of inside baseball. But I think we'll get it across the finish line, and hopefully we can, with new leadership there in the Senate on our side and their side, we'll get it across the finish line sometime this year.
Doc, if I know I've got to let you run. If folks want to connect with you, obviously they can find you on X at Roger Marshall MD. If they want to, what's the best way to reach out to you?
You know, really, people should go to our website, marshall.senate.gov. And I especially wanted to mention this to your veterans. A huge priority for us is our veterans. If you're a veteran and you're having problems getting in to see a doctor, if you're having problems getting medicines, if you're having problems getting your benefits, go on to marshall.senate.gov and email us. Tyler Mason has worked for me since day one. He came through us through the Warrior Program and does just an incredible job of helping our veterans go through the paperwork hassle as well. So marshall.senate.gov, you can email us there.
Senator, I appreciate you as always.
John, great to be with you as well, and just God bless this great country. I'm so proud to be part of it.
Thank you, my friend. Stay in touch and travel safely.
Thank you.
Well, you can tell he was at an airport because you could hear the flight announcement in the background. We'll take a break. Speaking of air, then Air Force Colonel Josh McConkie will join us to talk about Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth's decision to restore Fort Bragg's name. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Sorry, I was having a hard time hearing my microphone. Sorry, it's live radio, folks. What can I say? Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. Don't forget our friends at Kansans for Life. They've got their annual banquet here in Wichita coming up on the 25th. If you want to get information for it, it's got Rachel Campos Duffy, the wife of our new transportation secretary, and she and her daughter, Evita Duffy, will be out at Park City Arena. Tickets are available at KFL.org. You can also find information on that on the John Whitmer Show Facebook page. And, of course, if you're online, don't forget to visit and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook page and find me on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. Well, while flying aboard a C-17 from Joint Base Andrews to Stuttgart on earlier last month, Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth signed a memorandum renaming Fort Liberty in North Carolina back to Fort Bragg. The new name pays tribute to PFC Ronald L. Bragg, a World War II hero who earned the Silver Star and a Purple Heart for his exceptional courage during the Battle of the Bulge. With us now to give us his take on the name restoration is Air Force Colonel Josh McConkie. He is author of Be the Weight Behind the Spear. Colonel McConkie's military service includes providing critical medical support in both wartime and peacetime operations, with over 340 hours as a flight surgeon and 90 combat hours in rotor wing medical evacuation and air assault missions in the Middle East. He's an Air Medal and Army Commendation Medal recipient for exemplary service during Operation Iraqi Freedom. Colonel, first off, thank you for your service and thank you for joining us this evening.
Thank you, John. Thank you for having me on the show.
So can you explain the original reason for the name change? Because, you know, some of us don't. Was this part of the Biden administration's, you know, woke tour when they started pulling off names? Because it doesn't sound to me like PFC Bragg's name needed to be changed. It wasn't like one of the, you know, removing the name of a Confederate soldier or something.
Yeah. So, you know, Fort Bragg is what brought me and my family to North Carolina. And that name, Bragg, is synonymous with American military power. So it's the birthplace of our special operations, the JFK Special Warfare School, you know, airborne operations. If you look at like popular culture, like all the different movies.
Oh, yeah.
Rambo. I mean, they specifically talk about Fort Bragg. So the name initially was associated with Braxton Bragg. So it was a Civil War general. You know, it was over 150 years ago. To the men and women that have served at Fort Bragg, it has nothing to do with a Confederate general. It has everything to do with the men and women that have served there. You know, and now that they've named it after Roland Bragg, you know, a World War II absolute hero, part of America's greatest generation. I think it's always been Fort Bragg. Nobody in North Carolina called it Fort Liberty. It's finally now back to Fort Bragg.
Well, and you know, when Biden was doing this, it was so obvious what it was. It was just typical of the whole woke nonsense. And it was so emblematic of, you know, why, like right now there, some of these universities are going around changing, you know, woman to birthing person and that kind of stuff, an inseminated carrier. I mean, it's just nonsense. We all know what it is. Why are we being so? It just seemed like it was just asinine. Now, I guess the question is, why are they restoring? Is it just because we're going back to tradition and we're not going to play that nonsense anymore, basically?
You know, it's certainly a part of that. And then just recognizing that no one recognized it as Fort Liberty. Like, I live here in North Carolina. I live outside of Raleigh. You know, spent a lot of time in Fayetteville. The people of Fayetteville never changed Bragg Boulevard. So the big boulevard that runs right through the base and into Fayetteville, they kept it Fort Bragg. Nobody called it Fort Liberty. It's just recognizing what it's always been and just reversing the woke policies, the different, you know, agendas that they've had that really deteriorated our military capability. You know, Pete Hegseth is putting us back in the business of delivering lethal force when called upon. You know, me running a medical squadron, I take a lot of pride in being that force multiplier for our men and women that are taking bullets for this country, knowing that they have the best, you know, medical facilities and equipment, you know, on the planet that helps them do their job.
We're talking with Air Force Colonel Josh McConkie. And Colonel, I will give you some grace if the next couple of questions you have to dance around, because a dear friend of mine, our House Speaker here in Kansas, is active military. He's a guardsman, but still. So I know sometimes, because you're military, you have to be careful how you answer questions. But it clearly seems that the president has put a new emphasis on prioritizing military excellence and readiness versus the prior administration, which was just trying to be so inclusive. And I'm curious if that's what you're seeing. Some of these things, like getting rid of the trans and getting rid of, don't get me wrong, we want to try and be inclusive as a culture, but the military is not the place for social experimentation. The military is, for lack of a better way of looking at it, breaking skulls, taking land, win and get out. I mean, that's really what the purpose is. We shouldn't be doing social experimentation in our military.
You know, General Mattis said it best in his book Call Sign Chaos, where he just mentioned the American military is not a place for your cultural experimentation.
Yeah.
Our job is to deliver lethality. It is a terrible and horrific mission. I have personally carried body bags of America's heroes. I did one air assault in Iraq. It was the scariest thing I've ever done. But when we are called upon to deliver that lethality, that is the only thing that we need to be concerned about. You know, the left-wing agendas. And I think people need to recognize that our military is not a reflection of our population at large. You'll hear people say that. It's not. Less than 1% of people in this country have served in the military for various reasons, whether there's medical conditions or mental health conditions. You know, they're not able to serve. It is not a reflection of a population at whole. It is the reflection of our best and the highest standards. And the mission that we are set out to do is to deliver that lethality when called upon. It deters our enemies and keeps America safe. It contributes to our national security. That's it. If what you're asking us to do doesn't help us do that job, then you're wasting our time.
Yeah, and nor should the military be necessarily a reflection. It needs to be, well, the best and brightest, period. That should be the, it's, again, getting back to merit, getting back to who is the most qualified, who can do the job, and who cares about the other stuff. And I'm glad to see that we're prioritizing excellence and readiness and getting rid of the other stuff that just didn't seem to matter. I mentioned it in the intro. You're the author of Be the Weight Behind the Spear. The book is available on Amazon. Can you give us a moment, tell us a little bit about it?
Yes, this is my call to action for Americans. As an emergency physician and as a military commander, I see the mental health crisis that is crippling our country for some various policy failures over the past several years. So you see anxiety and depression and suicide. And as a military commander, the lack of resiliency in our youngest group of airmen, I was so concerned I wrote this book. If you don't recognize there's a problem, you can't fix it. That is clearly the problem. This book is the prescription to fix that problem. Our best resource in this country is our people. It's teachers, coaches, volunteers, and mentors. That is what sets America apart from the rest of the world. That is what China and Russia envy. And so we need to harness that resource, get people to engage their communities and pick this generation up before it's too late. This book is my prescription on how we do that.
Colonel, thank you again for joining us. Again, the book is called Be the Weight Behind the Spear. It's available on Amazon. Thank you again for your service, and thank you for joining us, my friend.
Yes, sir. God bless.
You too. We'll take a quick break, pay a few bills, and then author and filmmaker Dr. John G. West will tell us why he says America's Christian leaders are failing and what, if anything, we can do about it. Our studio lines are open, 316-869-1330. You're listening to The John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. Welcome back to The John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. Want to remind you to stay informed with up-to-the-minute news by downloading the Odyssey app or telling Alexa or Google Home to play KNSS Radio. And, of course, make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook page and follow me on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. In his new book, Stockholm Syndrome, Christianity, Dr. John West poses the question, what if American culture isn't collapsing because of crusading secularists? What if it's failing because many leading Christians identify more with secular elites than with their fellow believers? The author, Dr. John West, is vice president and a senior fellow at the Seattle-based Discovery Institute, where he also serves as a managing director of the Institute's Center for Science and Culture. Dr. West, thank you for joining us tonight. It's a pleasure having you on the show, sir.
John, thanks for having me.
So, Stockholm Syndrome Christianity. Dr. West, I guess my first question is, and it's probably one that a lot of people are asking themselves, particularly people of faith, is do we have a crisis of faith in America right now?
Well, I think there are some good signs that many people may be returning, but I do think we have a crisis of authority, say, for leading Christians, whether it be in the media or in academia or politics or in the entertainment industry. A lot of them act a lot more like the world than they do the teachings they say they believe. And that's a problem. If one happens to be a Christian or even just a person of faith and think that Christianity is a social good and has helped call us towards justice and helped call us towards righteousness and human flourishing, that if our pastors and professors and actors and and politicians who espouse Christianity aren't living consistently with their faith and not actually basing their policies on something consistent with their faith, then that all of us will are damaged by that.
Well, so basically they're walking, but they're not, well, they're talking rather, but they're not walking the talk. In the book, you warn that many are identifying more with secular culture than biblical truth. And you bring out this concept of a secular, for lack of a better term, a theological drift. And I like to think of it as a drift to the left, basically. taking over religious institutions. What do you mean by that? And is that, I guess for me, I see that as sort of like the, so my wife and I used to attend a particular denomination here that has been taken over in part by a lot of the, you know, lesbian, gay pastors. They preach a lot. And don't get me wrong, you want to be gay, you want to be lesbian, that's fine, that's your choice. But I don't care for it in a pulpit. And, you know, now we don't anymore because we didn't like the direction that particular church was going. And I see that a lot with some of these faiths that are, you know, it just seems like they're losing their way with some more traditional Christian beliefs. Is that kind of what you mean with this, the drift taking over?
Yeah, I mean, it's basically you have Christians who are looking more and more like the world. And I'll give you a very specific example that's actually in the news today. Francis Collins was the most powerful scientist in America for about a decade. He was head of the National Institutes for Health, and he also was known as a dedicated evangelical Christian. But if you actually look at his policies while he was in power, and the reason it's in today is he's just formally retired from even being a scientist at the NIH on Friday, and so that's why there's some news stories about that today. But if you actually look at what Francis Collins did when he was this devout evangelical Christian, when he was in power, well, here are some of the things he did. He oversaw the creation of a nationwide tissue bank where we harvested baby parts from late-term aborted babies up to 42 weeks in gestation. 42 weeks, that's a term.
Right.
To create, to use in medical research. Some medical research that he funded included taking scalps off of the little babies and grafting them onto mice. This was a committed Christian who oversaw this. He also oversaw even more millions of dollars of tax dollars going to pay for doctors and children's hospitals that promoted puberty blockers and gender deconstructive surgery on kids. You know, whatever you think of transgenderism, I think most people do agree that kids should not be getting puberty blockers or having their breasts cut off. Yet Francis Collins funded researchers who did those things. And so those are just two. And really, the sad part is by the end of his career at the NIH, he was being praised by left-wing outlets like Slate that said, you know, we knew he was a Christian. We were worried about that, but we shouldn't have been because basically they said, I mean, I'm paraphrasing, but this is basically what they said. He did everything we wanted. And so if he helped mollify some of the pro-lifers or some of the Christians and deflect what they, you know, their concerns, then this was great. What a sad epitaph. If I were Francis Collins, I would be heartbroken to be praised by people like that for basically being indistinguishable from the world.
Yeah, and this is that you gave a great example, and this is in part why we no longer attend the United Methodist Church, is because it has in many ways become indistinguishable. And don't get me wrong, again, we want to be tolerant. But at some point, you still have to have basic fundamental principles, like a respect for life. Like the sanctity of marriage, the recognition that there are only two genders. And I love the idea that you're saying here that there is a theological drift towards secularism. And when you continue to do that, you lose your base principles. Your core philosophy starts to disappear.
And it really impacts more things than people may think. For example, we have long-term intergenerational poverty issues in our nation and also homelessness. If you're a Christian, you actually know that a lot of this brokenness flows out not just of economics, it flows out of deep brokenness. Like when it comes to the homeless, a lot of them are either mentally ill or substance abusers.
Right.
And so if you're going to help them, you can't just throw money at them. You can't just give them material resources. You have to deal with the spiritual, emotional, social component. And Christians have understood that for ages. Yet there are many, and I talk about some of this in my book, so-called Christian charitable organizations that actually don't act like that. All they do is give, you know, food or shelter, and they don't, which that's important, but they don't actually try to reach the deepest needs of people. And yet their faith would tell them that, you know, you're not going to be successful if you don't actually try to have a spiritual component of what you're trying to reach people who are really broken. And so too many Christians are bought off by this, the secular mindset around them. And, but you know, what you shared about you and your wife, I'm so glad. A lot of my book, it's exposing, but it's also what can we do about it? And the sad fact is, too few people are like you and your wife. There are many people who say when they go to a church and say it goes off the deep end, they simply stay there. They continue to write the checks, no matter what, for a feeling of nostalgia, sentiment, you know, relationships. And so they're enabling this.
Yep. That's why we left. That's you. But that's when you leave, because I mean, you can try and change for a while, but when they won't fundamentally change, then you have to. It's no different than leaving a business, you know, or ceasing to do business with a company if they no longer ascribe to your tenants, or if you feel that they are doing something you're not going to buy from that woke company or whatever. It's the same thing with a church. If that particular church is engaging in pro-abortion or something like that, or won't take a stand on life, well, then I'm not going to do business with you, for lack of a better term.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. And I think if more faithful Christians understood that they're enabling, I mean, I have a principle I talk about in the book called do no harm. Even if you're not doing good things, even if you don't think that you have time to do that, make sure that where you give your time, talent, and treasure, where you volunteer, that you're not enabling other people to do bad. At very least, you know, pay attention.
Well, Dr. West, I appreciate you joining us. If folks want to connect with you, if they want to get a copy of the book, again, it's called Stockholm Syndrome Christianity. If they want to get a copy of the book, where can they get one?
Yeah, they can go to Amazon or Barnes & Noble, but if they want more information, just go to StockholmSyndromeChristianity.com, and there's a lot more information about the book there.
Dr. West, I appreciate you. God bless. Thank you for taking time with us this evening.
Thank you for having me. Have a good night.
We'll take a quick break, and then Deb Lucia from Americans for Prosperity Kansas will tell us about their upcoming rally they've got coming up here next week. Our studio lines are open, 316-869-1330. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. I want to remind you, our friends at Americans for Prosperity are hosting a really cool rally. It's with Congressman Ron Estes. It's all part of the Protect Prosperity Initiative. It's coming up next Saturday. I'll be there. My good buddy Andy Hoosier will be there. If you want to make your voice heard, you want to be part of this a really cool event to help make sure that we get taxes lowered at the federal level. If you want information on the event, you can find it on the John Whitmer Show Facebook page or visit AmericansForProsperity.org and sign up today. And, of course, while you're online, you can, you know, go to the John Whitmer Show Facebook page and find me on X at True Social. Don't forget, next Sunday, we'll be broadcasting live from Topeka, thanks to our friends at Eck Insurance. And let's see, next Friday, we've got the Pachyderm Club with myself and Andy Hoosier. So don't forget that. Joining us now is Deb Lucia from Americans for Prosperity Kansas. Deb, thank you for joining us. First off, I have to congratulate you on the victory last week. Wichitans will be getting a property tax cut soon, thanks to the defeat of the bond vote. So kudos to you guys. I know you were out there door knocking and working hard on that.
That's right. Yes, we were. You know, taxes are high.
Yeah.
And anything that we can do, and that's one of Americans for Prosperity's biggest areas, is reducing tax burden for citizens. We're taxed every time we turn around. We're taxed on everything.
Yep.
You know, I think in the state of Kansas, there's, I don't know, 36 different categories of taxes, or it's three pages long of taxes. There's over 100 taxes at the federal government level. Everything we buy has multiple taxes on it. And so we need a break, and Americans for Prosperity really believes in promoting lower taxes. And the reason taxes are so high is because we overspend. But what we have to do is, on Saturday, we have a rally coming up, and it's at our new AFP offices, which are in Union Station. You know, please come out for the event. Congressman Estes will be there. It's at 1 o'clock. And what people have to realize is that the taxes right now that you're paying at the federal government have been reduced, and they were reduced significantly in 2017 after President Trump first took office. those tax cuts are due to expire this year. And so if we don't maintain those taxes, everybody's going to get a tax increase. For the average Kansan, it's about $2,200. That's a lot of money, especially with the inflation we've been having those last, 4 years after the Biden administration.
Right.
And so the rally is for people to get out and make their voice heard to say, please keep our taxes low, keep the Trump tax cuts, and really protect prosperity. Because when Trump lowered taxes, we saw tremendous prosperity in the nation. In addition to Congressman Essex, we have a couple of business owners that were here in that were affected by the 2017 tax cuts, and they're going to talk about their experiences. And it's really a rally to support President Trump and these to keep these taxes low for all Americans.
Well,
and
that's
for us in Kansas.
I was going to say this is the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, and it wasn't just individual taxpayers. By the way, I saw the protests that they've had these protests going on downtown and on Saturdays, and they're a bunch of nonsense, and they've got the protest signs, fire Trump and calling him a tyrant and whatnot. And part of their thing is that the we're taxing the rich, and that all these things were tax cuts only for the rich. And that couldn't be further from the truth with the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act. And one of the things that it also did was it benefited businesses, all businesses, from your mom and shop, mom and pop, small business all the way up. And what people don't understand is if these tax cuts go away, immediately that's going to affect those small businesses. And that could immediately mean layoffs. It will mean price cut, prices going up, which all that flows downhill, comes right back down to your pocket, right?
Correct. And it is one of, I believe 60% of Americans believe that the wealthy don't pay their fair share because they've been told that.
Right. It's nonsense, but that's what they believe.
By the Democratic Party and a left-leaning media and activist groups keep saying it over and over. All you have to do is go to the IRS and look at the Treasury records that are there, public knowledge, and the wealthy pay the majority of taxes in this country. It is not tax cuts for the wealthy. The wealthy got, everybody did get a tax break, but the wealthy got the smallest percentage of it. The biggest tax break under the Trump tax cuts went to, on the individual taxes, it went to the middle class. But businesses also got tremendous tax cuts. And what most business owners do, and you'll hear that from the business owners that are going to speak, is they turned around and gave that back to their employees. This narrative that business owners are evil and that they are, taking all this money for themselves and leaving everybody else behind is not true. And you'll hear that at this rally. Business owners, what they do is they reinvest their money, they hire more people, and it goes back into the economy. And then when more people are working, when businesses can hire more people, that leads to more tax revenue, which just helps all of us and helps the economy.
Right.
So, we're at Americans for Prosperity, we're really happy, or we're very glad with the work that we do. We believe is really important to Kansans, and we just need to get that message out there. So the rally is going to be fun. It's going to be 1 o'clock at Union Station. You've got to go onto the second floor. So you have to drive, go behind Union Station down Mead Street. There's a ramp that takes you up to the second level parking area, which is outside. And then that's where the drive all the way down to the front by the Black Train. And that's where the rally is going to be at.
Well, so we'll be there. We'll park the KNSS little Jeep there so people can see it, make it easier for them to find. Again, it's next Saturday, the 8th at 1 o'clock at Union Station, upstairs, take the ramp up to the back. If people want more information, they can find it at afpks.org. Deb, thanks again. Appreciate you joining us.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Don't forget, next Sunday we'll be broadcasting live from Topeka, thanks to our friends at Eck Insurance. In the meantime, have a great week and carry on, fellow deplorables.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.